Well, you're brave souls today, every one of you. For Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 22, brave souls for coming and hearing what God has to say to us from his word regarding marriage and family. I don't think there would be too many of us that would have a question or wonder, or even just be in wonder, hey, is there an attack at all on, you know, marriage or family, you know, in our world today, or especially in the United States? I mean, I don't think that's I think we all know the answer to that clearly, you know, that marriage and family is certainly been clearly under attack by the enemy, and certainly we are, you know, our own enemy in some of this, because we fall prey so much to our own selfish ambitions and desires and stuff. And so as Paul writing this, just is kind of, again, by way of reminder, just to get ourselves thinking in the right perspective when we talk about this, it's really something that, you know, Paul's really wanting to convey to us how to live godly in an ungodly society. And you know, for those of you who feel like, well, I've got this kind of wired as far as, you know, marriage goes, you know, hey, I'll high five you all day on that. But man, you know what? I'm telling you that anybody, even the people that struggle the least with this, can hit some very, very difficult times. It's part of sharing life with someone. It's not always easy. You got two different personalities, two different people, and we don't always see eye to eye on everything. It just doesn't exist that way. I know that people oftentimes, you know, I mean, there's just these cliche terms, aren't there? Well, we've just drifted apart. Well, who's in charge of your boat? You know, I mean, it's like I'm just this victim in life and I have no choices of my own. And we just somehow woke up one day and, you know, I don't like that person, you know. And I'm making light of something that's very serious, but that you know, the idea on, you know, most divorce certificates is, you know, irreconcilable differences. We just couldn't find a way to forgive each other and to move on with life. I mean, these are all just truths that we're all aware of. And so if you've got, you know, if you feel like you've got things pretty well figured out, well, certainly, and you've got a biblical perspective on that, certainly don't be shy. Interact with others, you know? I mean, because there's a lot of us that don't have it all figured out, you know? And we're just kind of getting through life and trying to follow the Lord and stay focused on the things of the Lord. Well, we kind of, in our last message, left off with this idea of submitting to one another in the fear of God. And this really is a concept point that Paul was trying to make, that we would grasp that concept, because that's imperative to understanding the rest of how the flow of this goes, as we kind of learn about, you know, not only marriage and family, but our workplaces, just our life perspective. There are always going to be people in front of you, and there are always going to be people behind you in that sense. There's going to be people out leading ahead of you, and there's going to be people following you. There's always that. That's part of life. And so this is where he says, you know, submitting to one another, being yielded to one another. I don't think it necessarily means that someone's better than someone else. That's not necessarily the point. And we talked about that in the Godhead, as we see Jesus submitting to the Father, but yet both are part of the Godhead. They're equal, co-eternal in that sense. And so, you know, it's different roles. And I think if we don't embrace that, then we become out of sync with God. So to me, really, just as we get into this today, I'm going to do my best to just convey what I believe to be God's heart in this. And this is from 31 years of marriage and understanding the nuances of this and how difficult it can be sometimes. And this is from being married to the same person when I was living in the world and not walking with God, and then for the vast majority of that time, walking with God. It just happens to be that I'm with the same person. So we've actually had two different lifetimes together, in a sense, you know, having then come to the Lord and starting a new life. Some of you that have had the benefit of starting your relationship or life in a relationship with the Lord, praise God. You know, I really, one of the things that sometimes happens when we talk about these things, sometimes people feel like they know something because they didn't do something. But this is the thing with this. I really encourage you, younger people, you know what? Don't kick the person in the head whose shoulders you're standing on. Sometimes the reason you're the beneficiary of having this better life is because someone else was sacrificial and gave their life to the Lord, and then in so doing, they give their life to the Lord. They're leading now a godly example for then you to follow, and so now you have this opportunity of maybe doing better in your life than they did. And that's great. You're standing then, therefore, on their shoulders. And that's awesome. Just don't kick them in the head because they're not as perfect as you are or something, you know, because they didn't have everything figured out as early as you did. Good for you, but just be aware of that. So when we're going through this, I'm kind of throwing out some stuff to kind of throw into the mix to be thinking about as we go through this. But this idea of submission is, this is a bullet point in verse 21 that's kind of an overshadowing thought, just as we found in verse 18 about be filled with the Spirit. I think understanding the fact that we need to be filled with the Spirit, we need to be walking in the Spirit, we need to be Spirit-led in our lives, and then submitting to one another ties together, because I don't think you can really effectively in the Lord yield to other people in submission without it being a work of the Holy Spirit, because it's just not our nature, you know? And so we get to those two thoughts, and if you keep those two thoughts as kind of your sideline to it, when we get to wives, verse 22, Paul dealing with wives first, ladies first, I guess. He says, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And you know that we talked about, in its original language, it really reads, wives, to your own husbands as to the Lord. That's being repeated so that we get it, where it says submit. But again, verse 21 was the overshadowing thought that was inserted and that was the ideal that was set forth already. Now it says, wives, to your own husbands, or submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the Lord is the head of the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Now that's not saying that the husband is to be the savior. That's not what it's saying. It's just saying that the structure that God has created is that the husband is to be a leader spiritually in his home. He is to set the pace and be the example. And literally, just really, from a spiritual standpoint, man up. And we're going to talk about that, what that looks like in just a few minutes, because that ties into this. It's very important for it to be connected well. I think sometimes husbands, you know, we can learn a lot about the idea of, you know, are you really living a life that really exemplifies the things of the Lord? And do you represent something that should be yielded to? Are you living in that way? And that's a challenging thought sometimes, you know? Are you leading your home in prayer? Are you leading your home in devotions? Are you really taking that spiritual leadership role? We've got great opportunities even right now this week coming up where, you know, you can really be encouraging your wife to take advantage of things that would be of great benefit and great blessing to them, you know, from the opportunities that we provide, you know, with retreats and different things like that. There's functions, they have the tea parties and all these things. Do you make it accessible for them, you know, as the spiritual leader? I'm bringing it down to something very practical, but it's very real. Is this something that's being done? And are you making things? Are you encouraging those kind of things? You know, are you encouraging the spiritual things that really are going to help your marriage be strong? You see, one of the things that it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul there talking about, you know, that the women are the glory of the man. And what it says, it really means an outshining, or what it means basically, a reflective, to some extent, are reflective of the relationship that they have. So if it is a husband that is spiritually tuned in and walking with the Lord and really a spiritual leader and loving his wife as he ought, then there's going to be this reflective qualities that are found in the woman then that are going to display that relationship. And so sometimes when the guy's saying, well, you know, my wife's just this or just that or just not this or just not that, and I'll sit and listen for a couple of minutes, and it's like, well, you know, that's largely has to do with you and how you're relating to her. And so, you know, it kind of, Paul really eliminates a lot of the finger pointing in this. What I do want to say about this idea of submission, and the reason I recommended KP's book, because he talks about this in a concept form, I think this is something that's lost in our world, in our society today. Submission is like this dirty word. I have had people flat out just get really upset because in our study sheets that we have for premarital counseling and stuff, in premarital stuff, it goes over and it talks about submission in a right sense of it. There's a right understanding of it. The world has absolutely perverted it to make it like it's this dirty word, you know. Well, you're better than, you're of more value than that. You just shouldn't submit to, you know. It's like, what are we talking about here? We're not even talking about the same understanding of the word. Do you really look into the eyes of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, and you want to tell me he's not worthy of you yielding and submitting to his authority of who he is because he has the best interest? I know that my friend, my Lord, my Master, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ, I know that he has my best interests and your best interests in mind at all times. So really, true godly submission really involves faith. Do you trust God enough to trust that person, your spouse, and their leadership? And I guarantee you, most women will say no. Even if they've got an awesome husband, not really. I've encouraged my wife to trust who God is in my life, or I would encourage, and I do that with myself. I trust who God is in her life. You see, when the word submission is used in this way, it's not dictatorship. See, but that's the way the world puts it, like it's a dictatorship. It's not, I am the king, you do what I tell you. That's a misunderstanding of the idea of submission. Submission can very much involve discussion. It can very much involve relationship and interactive communication. Absolutely, it can involve all that. But it also is willing to say, hey, you know what, though? I know God has placed you as the leader of our home, because the Bible says that. God's word says that. And I trust God at his word. And we've had a thorough discussion, and I trust who God is in your life, and I trust, and I'm praying for you that God will give you the insight to make the wisest decision in this matter. That is then yielding to the work of the Spirit. It's challenging. It's difficult. But it doesn't remove, you know, it doesn't like eliminate interaction. It's not this authoritarian weirdness that everybody's painted it all out to be. That's not what it is. There should be godly interaction and godly input. And then there should be a resolve. But the responsibility, when push comes to shove, the man is going to be held responsible. As far as everything we read scripturally, when you read through it, God goes to the man and wants to know what's gone on. He didn't go looking for Eve. He didn't go looking for Eve. Adam, where are you? Adam? He went looking to talk to Adam about what went down. And we all know how Adam handled it, like most of the rest of us. Just, well, I don't know. It's that wife you gave me, God. You know, it's that woman. You know, she just, you know. Right, come on, we got to have a little bit of humor in all this stuff, you guys. I think that the world has made so much of it this that the church has gotten confused about really understanding the things of the Lord. I think if we go on, we might find some help with this as we go on a little bit further and look at the side for men and the relationship with men and women. Because it looks like, you know, Paul's just like, hey, gals, you're just supposed to submit. If you'd submit and just do what your husband says, the whole thing would be a lot better. But that's not really where Paul leaves it. He says, therefore, just as the church is subject in verse 24 to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And that's, again, it was described for you just a moment ago, just yielding to in a decision situation ultimately. And I think there's a constant battle, isn't it? There's a constant battle because a lot of times the gals will say, you know what? I don't believe he's capable of making the best decision in this situation. I don't trust him. Basically, all you're saying is, I don't trust him. And ultimately, it really ends up, I really don't have respect for him in that sense. I don't respect him. We're going to get into this a little bit further because this will start to peel back. And I think this is really, for me, this is super helpful when I got into this part in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. I'm going to read all the way through verse 29, and then we're going to break that down. But we've got to take the whole of it, and then we'll break it down. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. So, husbands, love your wives. That's the initial statement that should be done. But then he gives us kind of four basic ideas of how we can display that love for our wives. And you remember, we've talked about this before, but this love that's described here is best described by the actions that it prompts. Now, a lot of guys, one, will say, and this is just something I will encourage you guys with, is I don't think you can tell your wife, I don't think you can tell her that you love her often enough. I've sat and talked with couples over the years, and sometimes the gal will just say, well, you know, he just never tells me that he loves me. And I look at the guy, and the guy just goes, man, when we stood at the altar 25 years ago, I told her I loved her. Do I need to keep repeating myself? Did she not hear me the first time? You know, it gets ridiculous. Well, but the idea is that constant statement of reinforcement that I love you and that I have you and your best interest in my mind at all times is what their sense should be about your relationship with them. That's what should be going on for you. If that's not going on, then you got homework. You got stuff to work on. And that's okay. That's what all this is all about. We want to have this. So much has happened to the family as a unit. Do you know most men coming up now have a horrible time with any type of authority? And most of the time, it's because they didn't grow up with a dad around the house. Or it was a step-parent. And none of that's wrong or bad. I'm just stating the facts. And we're interacting with a lot of people that just absolutely really struggle with any type of authority in their lives because they just have no concept that maybe that person does have your best interest in mind, that maybe they do care about your life and how it might go, that maybe some of the stuff they're saying might be of value and help you. But it's just pushed away. It's just pushed away because they've never had that put into their lives ever. We are beginning to, and we are not there yet, but we're beginning to suffer the ramifications of this as a whole in our society. This has all just become very rampant since, you know, the 60s into the 70s. The divorce rate just escalated, you know, all the way through that time period. Love your wives. Now, I think one of the best counsel I could give anybody is don't love your wives just the way you want to be loved. That's your first mistake. It's normal. It's the natural mistake we would all make, but it's wrong. I'll just file that now. Don't love them the way you want to be loved. Love them the way God instructs us to love them and the way they need to be loved. Because it's really not all about you. I know it's hard to believe, but it's the truth. Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for. So number one, verse 25, in loving our wives, guys, how can we best do this? And I think if we're doing this, then verses 22, 23, and 24 are going to be an easy, natural fit and a byproduct if we're doing verses 24 through 29, guys. So let's just kind of work, paint our way out of the corner. You know, that's a construction thing. When you're painting a house, you get started in a spot and you just paint your way right out of the corner. You know, you got to start somewhere. So we're there. Let's get out of the corner. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, this first one that is brought up is that it is a sacrificial love. Jesus loves us with a sacrificial love, and we are in turn to love our wives with a sacrificial love. So, again, we get home this afternoon, and for a lot of the husbands, they think loving their wives is that they encourage their wife. They make room on the couch for them to sit by them while they watch the Chiefs game. Okay? Well, that's probably not exactly what Paul had in mind, okay, with this. Sacrificial love doesn't mean you have to necessarily always give up every game that you want to watch, but the idea is are you willing? This idea of sacrificial love is Jesus gave himself for us, not because we were deserving even of it, but it was a sacrifice that he made. He was willing to do that because he loves us and wants to have relationship with us. So I'm kind of trying to take this concept of sacrificial love and get it down into something where we live. You know, because sometimes the idea is in our minds, but the actual application or the outworking of that doesn't really kind of totally connect. That's where a lot of us have lived. So sacrificially means sometimes that I'm not, or you're not, as guys, we're not always doing just everything we want to be doing. And that we're not trying to rush through everything so then we can get to whatever it is that we want to be doing. It's understanding and doing things from our hearts because we love that person, our wife, and that it's not all about us, and that we really want them to see and know our love for them, and that we're willing to do some of these things sacrificially. Now, it's not sacrificial if you go to Powell Gardens and you spend the day and you walk around and the whole time you whine and complain that you're there. How long do we have to stand and read this plaque and look at that flower? How long do we have to, you know, that's not sacrificial love. I'm being really, it sounds silly, but this is stuff that makes a statement to your spouse of that, man, you love them, and you're, because they're interested in something, you have an interest in it. Sometimes that is sacrificial, but it's not sacrificial if it's filled with murmuring and complaining. You know, that's not the concept that God, that Jesus is trying to, remember on the cross, he looked at him. These are the people that have, you know, said, crucify him, crucify him. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's sacrificial love. You see, the idea here for us from a very practical standpoint is that we're willing to do things. We're willing to even some of the more difficult things, some of the things we don't even really care for as much, but that we're willing to do those things sacrificially because we love our spouse. So, number one, it's a sacrificial type of love. So, would you say that sacrifice ultimately kind of costs you something? Wouldn't you say that that's the whole intent of sacrifice, right? Wouldn't you say that? If it doesn't cost you something, then, you know, it costs Jesus his life. And the idea is many of us aren't necessarily going to be called upon necessarily to physically die for our spouse. That likely may not happen to us. It could, but it may not likely happen. So what would be intended? The idea then is, are you willing to live in a sacrificial way for that person? Are you willing to set aside yourself long enough that it displays that kind of love and care and interest? The second thing, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. It's a cleansing love. And you notice what it's based on is that washing of the water by the word. That time that's spent going through and talking about the things of the Lord from his word, the scriptures. Guys, it doesn't take a ton. You do not have to be a theologian. You don't have to know that much at all, other than that God loves you and you open up and read a Psalms together. You don't have to sit there when it talks about spiritual leadership that you have to have all of the, well, in the original language, you know, this is what it really, your wife's going to shut that off in about 2 seconds, you know? She's just not going to hear that from you, you know? I mean, if you think that's the kind of devotions we have, you're way mistaken. That's not the kind of interaction we have. It's more, I read this. I want to share this with you. It's very natural. It's very interactive. And I think if you would just approach it instead of that, then trying to be like, I'm going to open up and I'm going to have this Bible study with my wife. You know, no, that's great, but that's not necessarily the intent of this. It's the interactive aspect of the relationship. Are you talking about the things of the Lord? We could spend all our time complaining about all kinds of stuff, or we could spend time talking about the things of God together. That's what builds us up in our walk with the Lord. That's what helps in the journey, and that it provides this washing and this cleansing in our lives. We're out in the world of life, right? All of us, we get just kind of soiled by all of the stuff that we're involved in and connected with. Not even bad stuff. It's just things of life sometimes. And the water and the washing of the word, it just kind of washes over us, and it cleanses our lives, and it helps to help us to have a more healthy, interactive relationship with one another. So the first one was sacrificial love. The second way that we see Jesus as our example, as Christ loved the church, that we're to love our wives in that way, is with a cleansing love, and it's through the word of God. Verse 27, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And some of you guys are just saying, it's too late for that. It's not just a physical concept, okay? The idea of that was, remember, the lamb that was that type of a lamb, that it would be without blemish or anything. And so it's a received thing in the eyes of the Lord. And so it ties into this washing of the water, the word. And then he says that he might present her himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. This is a purifying type of love, that there's a heart to bring, you know, a holiness into that relationship. It's a purifying type of love. And again, I encourage you with the word with that. The word not only washes, but it brings that purifying factor into it. I think it's so important. It's easy as believers to get into this thing where we're going through the motion, isn't it? And we're doing life together and we go to church and stuff, but really that's kind of the extent sometimes of our spirituality and our the depth of our interaction on spiritual matters, and really that's not God's intent. So at whatever stage you're in, whether you're hoping to find a husband or a wife one day, or you're in the early stages of maybe a courting type situation where you're hoping to marry that person, or whether you are at the stage where you're already in a marriage situation, these things are all helpful for you because it helps to set the stage for, you know, guys and gals looking for, you know, a spouse and wanting to connect with someone. Man, I think what we found out of Genesis, that we're made, you know, in the likeness or the similitude of God. You know, we're an inferior Trinity, but we see how the Trinity works, that inferior Trinity. We see how that works, that there's a spirit, the original design. When we give our lives to the Lord, we go back to original design. Spirit is dominant in our lives, right? And then our soul, which is our mind, our emotion, our sense of humor, and all that stuff is there. And then the next thing is the physical realm. And I encourage everybody, man, go for 3 out of 3. Look for 3 for 3. Because if you don't have all 3 of those things, ultimately, if there's no attraction for one another, that's going to be a problem. If someone's not really walking close to the Lord or doesn't understand what it means to be a spiritual leader or to be yielded to the other, if that's not happening, then you're going to have constant conflict. That's going to be a problem. So you start getting into these matters. If they're not really a believer, you've even got a whole nother nightmare going, right? You know, it's a super big challenge. All these things. So go for the 3 for 3. There's somebody that you enjoy, you want to do life with, you know, that there's some type of, you can share laughter together, you know. You can talk about something you've read and it has significance. I think these are good things to be thinking on. Husbands, this is the 4th one. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And you know, you read that and you think, oh, well, yeah, you know, I've read that in all of the psychology books of today. You know, we've got to love ourselves so then we can love other people. That's not what Paul's talking about, okay? Just to be totally exact on this, that's not what he's talking about at all. The guy is a real intelligent guy, but that's not what he's talking about. He is talking about something very spiritual that really matters. And he's trying to say, hey, all of us care enough about ourselves that when we get hungry, we find something to eat. You care about yourself enough that you when you're hungry, you find something to eat. You're going to nourish yourself. You're going to take on nourishment. It's part of the life process, right? We ought to love our wives as our own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but again, nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. And so this last one, the 4th idea that was put forth by Paul here, was that it would be a nurturing love. A nurturing love. This is important because there's in a relationship, just like in our being, we are generally, all of us here, in the act of living. So in the act of living, I've got hunger pains, I've got, you know, I'm thirsty. I'm in the act of living. My body's processing food. I'm in the you know, doesn't process quite like it used to. Some of it sticks closer than I would like it to, but you get the idea, right? We're in the act of living. Well, having watched my parents go be with the Lord, I learned something, you know, about that things change at a certain point, and your body very naturally goes into something that's called the act of dying, simply stated, right? You no longer are hungry. You no longer, you know, ultimately organs start shutting down. Your body's just shutting down. And it's just as natural as being in the act of living. But Paul here is taking this idea of the act of living, and he's saying, hey, you take care of yourself almost axiomatically without even a thought. You're going to look out for you. You're going to take care of you because, in fact, really, you do love yourself in that sense. You care about yourself. You're hungry, you're going to eat, you're going to take. He says, hey man, love your spouse that way. Love your wife that way. Nourish, care for her. Make sure that she feels nurtured. That it's almost like then it's like second nature. So all of this, I would say, to say this thought, all of this kind of sums up in this thought. Ladies that are wives, do you have a sense that outside of your husband's personal relationship with Jesus Christ, do you have a sense that you are the number one priority and that it fits in the sense of these four aspects? Or are there other things that are really, really your husband's priority? Why I say this is because while our work tasks and stuff are important and sustaining our life is important, I can tell you, you know what, you guys? I don't care about anything except for my relationship with the Lord and my relationship with my wife. In comparison to everything else that goes on in my life, I honestly can tell you, I don't care. I don't care how much money I do or don't have in the bank. I just don't care in comparison to that. Because you know, when it's all said and done, that I will stand before my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and give an account for. Do you think God's going to high-five any one of you guys because of what you got in the bank when it's said and done? God doesn't. That's not impressive to God. He put all the ore in the earth. But one thing he is going to ask you about is how you loved your wife. And he's going to know because he knows her more intimately than you know her. That is something I will give and you will give an account before the Lord Jesus Christ for. And man, when that light came on and I realized that, I got into this stuff. When I realized early on in my journey with Jesus that, man, God sees this as pretty important, I started digging into the Word and I started trying to understand because I didn't know how to love my wife like Jesus loved the church. I didn't understand any of this stuff at all, zero. And I had a decent upbringing and all that stuff, but I didn't really get this. Not the biblical concept of really getting it. And I fear that sometimes some people get it because they hear the words, so they think they get it, but there's no real application. This is the key to marriage and family. This is God's plan. You and I are God's design. We are made by God. And God's saying, and he made our emotional system, every part of who we are. God designed us. And I'm telling you, I know it's not always easy. It's challenging. It's difficult. Many times, because there is the battle of the wills that set in. You know, we're independent people and those things set in. But man, when love is placed in this, and when we're praying and seeking the Lord for the heart of God, man, it changes everything. The real truth is, is that the case? If your husbands, if your wife has confidence that you have her in the place of second position, Jesus having first position. Nothing else is more important than that relationship and that and then her. If in fact that were the case, I honestly believe verse 22, 23, and 24 will never be an issue. Because I think most women, most, want to yield in a loving relationship to a spiritual leader who loves them and cares for them, and that they have confidence that their best interests are being looked out for on every level. Doesn't mean it always goes the way you want it to go. I'm not talking about being spoiled brat kids, right? Okay? I'm talking about the real deal, the real life stuff. Doesn't mean we always get everything the way we want it, or, you know, I wanted to eat this place and then she wanted to eat this place, and, you know, why am I always the one that has to give in? We always got to eat at that place. And I, you know, if you think that's, if that's the biggest sacrifice you got going, whew, God bless you, you know. But you get the idea. You get the concept of some of this stuff, how important it is. Guys, it's a lot to digest and to think about. It doesn't take as much as sometimes some guys think it takes. Some guys think, well, I can never tell her I love her enough. So you throw in the towel, you throw up your hands, and you do nothing. That's a fool does that. A fool. Do the best you can. Do the best you can. If you're I don't care how long you've been married. If you're walking somewhere and you're in close proximity, grab your wife's hand. She wants to hold your hand. Well, we did that a long time ago. We just don't hold hands anymore. That's, you know, PDA. I don't want to get involved in the, you know, all this, you know. What kind of... You dropped just written out a little note, a love note, left it on the nightstand, bought flowers for no reason, other than you love her. I think one of the greatest things you can do is try to just show simple displays of care and interest. It goes a long, 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 long way. I share this soberly. I share this as a guy who's made every mistake that you've made and a lot more. I'm fairly thick-headed on this stuff. Didn't get it early on, but have made it a goal in the Lord. You know, I've pursued after trying to get it. I want to do this right. You know what, you guys? I sat on a curb while my dad sat down next to me and told me he was leaving. I've lived the backside of this out. I don't want that for anybody. I didn't want that for me, and I don't want that for anybody else. It's a horrible, horrible experience, and it can be avoided. And you can think later on in life, well, maybe later on, you know, it wouldn't matter so much. The kids are all grown. Yeah, but you know what? You're going to have grandkids. Do you understand? My kids had to have 2 or 3 birthday parties and stuff because everybody couldn't commingle. We couldn't just do one birthday party, but we had to do several things. I mean, I'm telling you, it was in my mind's eye after I gave my life back to the Lord. Like, man, God help us. I don't want that to be the case if I have anything to do with it. And I believe only the blood of Jesus Christ reverses these kind of things. And it's about humbling ourselves and us submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ and then yielding to his plan and how we're to love and care for one another. We'll just finish with a couple more verses. For we are members of his body, still speaking of husbands and wives, we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. In other words, he's saying we are intimately connected to the Lord. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He says, this is just, you know, fantastic stuff and hard to comprehend how God loves us and how the Son has done this, and we have this relationship with our Lord this way. And he says, nevertheless, in verse 33, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let his wife see that she respects her husband. Guys, your wife just needs to know that you love her. That she just needs to know through the displays of actions and things from your heart, she needs to know that you love her. I've shared with you many times, you know, sometimes that it's a good question to ask, because we by nature are fixers most of the time. There's a problem, we're trying to fix something. And the best question you can ever ask is this something you want me to do something with? Or do you just want to talk about it? And you can't say that in a condescending way, or you'll lame out on the whole thing and it's gonna ruin your night and maybe your week, I don't know. Trust me, it's a bad move. Just simply ask, though, because sometimes she just wants to talk through something. Now, as guys, we don't understand that. You know, there's no need to have deep conversation on these things, you know, but most gals like to have conversation about stuff, and it may be a cup of coffee long, you know, it's just the way it goes. And I think for us, sometimes that is sacrificial because we just don't function that way. But do it. It's well worth it. You will learn things that you would have never known otherwise. Two ears we've got. One mouth. Just listen. Just listen, listen, listen. These are part of the ways that we would display that kind of love. And wives, if you show even an inkling of confidence that your husband has even a slight potential to make a spiritually wise decision, that will be very encouraging to him. Even if it's kind of going against your grain, do the best you can to try and believe that maybe that decision about buying that larger TV might have seemed somehow wise. I don't know how, I understand, right? But you get what I'm saying, try to it's that idea when you are yielding, it's showing a respect that somehow guys need to know that their wives see them as value in that way. And, you know, for you gals, you may think that's just the lamest thing, and I understand. It may be the lame, but that's how we are, you know? It's just like you needing some flowers for no reason. We don't understand that. We don't get that. It makes no sense. That's why we don't do it as often as we should, because we just don't track like that. So guys, we got to start tracking a little bit more on that. And gals, you might just look to it and just kind of be encouraging about some of those decisions. You know, it shows an element of builds up through respect. It's not saying that you're less capable or anything. It's not any of that. It's just being loving and building one another up in the Lord.